All right, back on the post game. So Naomi Klein is great. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why people love her and respect her. And I think all the way back in 2005, I have the notes here somewhere. She was ranked 2005 among the top 12 global intellectuals. Okay. Mm-hmm. So by now she must be in the top three. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was before she wrote Shock Doctrine. She's got all these awards and all of her books are New York Times bestsellers. And so the Shock Doctrine was such a great, great point. Like there's some points that just resonate because they immediately ring true. Mm-hmm. Conservatives use crises to when people are in a panic and need to pass something quickly to sneak in all of their agendas, mm-hmm. you know, deregulation, lower taxes, whatever it is that they're trying to do, right?
The Patriot Act.
Right, endless wars, etc. So, and then she has that great line that I always quote, and I said it in during the interview too, that sometimes people give me credit for on the internet because I say it so often, but it's actually her. They like to privatize the gains and socialize the losses. Mm-hmm. So she said that initially, okay? And then she had two lines during the interview that I love so much that I reiterated them in the interview, and then I said them on the show today, but I want to triple emphasize now. She said, the Democrats seem to want to go back to the time before Trump, but the time before Trump was a time that was so bad that it led to getting Trump elected.
Yes, I know.
Right?
I know.
So that was not a good old days. That was not a good time. That was a terrible, terrible time that led to Trump. So going back to that square one is not making progress.
Yeah, I agree with you on I agree with her on that 100%. But it reminded me of something that Ben and I talked about. It wasn't on camera. It's nothing sensitive, so don't worry. But we were talking about the theory that some progressives had about Trump getting elected being a good thing because he would destroy shit so badly mm-hmm. that people would be ready to throw in support for a true progressive, right? But I'm worried that the opposite is happening, that Trump is so extreme and so disastrous that he has now desensitized us to politicians that we typically would not like and not support, right? So essentially conservative Democrats, like conservative Democrats are a lot better than Trump is. Even on the right, like, if we could just impeach Trump and then we can have Pence. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's kind of desensitized us and it's also, it's changed our standards. It's lowered our standards for politicians.
So Anna, that's a great, great point. I will give both you and Ben credit for it because okay. I was not in the conversation and don't know who initiated it. Anyway, because he's moved Overton window to so far to the right and so far to into an insane asylum that we now are rooting for Bob Corker.
I know.
Not only is Bob Corker totally corrupt, totally right wing, but he's the guy who ran the ads against Harold Ford that were obviously dog whistle racist. So saying about the Playboy bunny, having her on the screen at the end of the ad saying, "Call me Harold," like the black guy is going to come take your white women. So that racist dude now seems benign by comparison to Trump. So now
he seems
all
like
of a sudden,
the good guy.
Yeah, now all of a sudden Corker's the middle. Corker was
so
part of an insane right wing that took over Congress that was like way more conservative than the old right wingers. Mm-hmm. Now he's the new middle? Are you kidding me? And what do the Democrats do? They just accept it. They're thrilled because they're like, well, that's the number one trick they have, which is, well, you can't vote for the other guy. You know, we have a better deal. Better than what? Better than Trump. Oh my God. You want to talk about damning with faint praise? You want to talk about a low bar? They have lowered the bar so low that it's at Trump.
Yeah.
And so, yes, there are progressives who say fuck that and want to fight and want to go in the other direction. And Naomi Klein says, yeah, there's five steps, and our fifth step is no. We have to be bold in our counter plan, and we have to make our case on against climate change and deregulated markets, etc. But she's in our camp. She's in the progressive camp. I was just in Washington again. This is just a vibe. You can't overgeneralize, but it is pervasive. Mm-hmm. And if you trust that I have some decent analysis of the situation, I'm telling you that the vibe over there is establishment. It's not a matter of learning. They're never going to learn. It's not. They're paid not to learn. It's their feeling is we got them. We don't have to do anything. We just have to play prevent defense. And if you actually propose anything progressive now, you're hurting our cause, because our cause is not Donald Trump. And if you propose something, they can attack it. And so don't do that, because we have them on the ropes by not being Donald Trump. And that is actually a terrible, terrible strategy. Any football fan knows prevent defense is prevent victories. Mm-hmm. You're still not making your case, because it isn't their case. They don't give a shit. They want the tax cuts.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. All right. The other thing that Naomi said in the interview was, when the Republicans say don't politicize things, like whether it's the mass shootings or anything else, climate change, as soon right after a storm, don't talk about it. Now, that's not a novel point. We make that point all the time. But I like the way she framed it. She said, asking people not to politicize something is inherently a political act.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it means it's literally meaningless, because you're saying, okay, here are the things we're going to politicize, here's the things we're not going to politicize, and I'm making that decision based on politics.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wish that she had, or folks on TV had her framing, but there's a reason why they don't. And which leads me to the last point. I asked her if she chooses not to go on TV so much, because I almost never see her on,
right,
or if they don't have her on. Okay, and she had a more specific answer than I was anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what she was going to answer. I never talked to her about that before, and it's nothing that I've ever read about her. And some authors don't like going on TV. They think it's you don't have enough time. It's kind of a cheap format. Maybe you go plug your book a little bit, but then don't get mired in the muck, right? And she said that she doesn't love going on TV. That's true. But she said when they released the book, they, of course, wanted to go on MSNBC and talk about the book. And she said in the past, MSNBC has actually been very receptive to her. Okay, good. I didn't know that. That's good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained, but in this book, there is criticism of the Democratic Party and how they should be bold and act. And that no, the title of her book, by the way, is No is Not Enough, Resisting Trump's Shock Politics and Winning the World We Need. So the Democratic strategy is no is enough. That's it. Just say no and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This is counter to that.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, all the MSNBC invites dry up.
So
she's
pathetic.
Not on TV. And when she told me that, I got angrier, mm-hmm. right? Angrier at MSNBC than I think I've ever been. Even though all the history that I have with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because when they did what they did with me, I get it. I get the logic of it, right? So it's a corporate move, and we've been over it 1,000 times. So that's what they're going to do. I don't have any illusions about it. I'm not one of those guys who are true believers mm-hmm. in MSNBC or cable television, etc. And they're heartbroken when they find out, oh my God, they actually just want to make money, mm-hmm. and their corporate parent is more important than my ratings or my show, etc.
Yeah.
Right? And that they don't have principles in news. I never believed in the mainstream news in the first place. But the reason I got more angry today is because, you know, there's good folks on there, but all they do is Democratic propaganda.
Oh,
and it's and it's disgusting, right? So, like, if you look at any particular segment, you're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with that segment. That's a good story about a memo about Russia, because it 80% of the time is about Russia. And part of it is that I was just in Washington and just in New York 2 weeks before that. Whenever I travel, I see TV more.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm at home, I never watch cable news, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed. I literally did not see one segment that wasn't about Russia on MSNBC.
Yeah, they do focus on that and that. I wouldn't say that alone, because they will cover other stories that are headlining, because if they don't, I mean, who would watch them if it's just 24-hour coverage of Russia? But I would say a sizable portion or a sizable percentage of their news is what's going on with Russia. And look, I think I actually really do enjoy Rachel Maddow's coverage of Russia, because I think she does a good job breaking it down, providing context, you know, making a case for why the new updates matter. When she's gone and Joy Reid fills in for her, like I can't handle the Russia coverage because she's not as good as Rachel is in making a compelling case for why it's newsworthy. And it just seems, I think Rachel Maddow does a good job in masking the agenda, whereas Joy Reid doesn't really mask it at all, and she sucks at it.
You know what? And I cover Russia, and yeah. I think Trump did it. But like today, there was no stories about Russia. There was nothing in this show about Russia. There's no way that every MSNBC show today doesn't have at least one story about Russia.
Yeah.
Even though it's not in the news.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there was the Richard Burr stuff, and there was a dossier, and et cetera. So it was a little bit more in the news, to be fair, last week. Mm-hmm. But literally, like, I don't remember if it was 6 out of 6 or 7 out of 7 segments that I happened to see mm-hmm. on the TV in the corner or whatever on MSNBC. All of them were about Russia. Every single one. Oh, I heard it on the radio too as I was taking taxis and stuff like that. Russia, Russia, Russia. So now for all the guys, all of you folks who are sick of the Russia stuff, now I'm with you. Like, I will cover it when it makes sense, and he did it, and it'll get much bigger in the cycle when we realize what he actually did and the depth of the corruption, etc. But yes, MSNBC is definitely using it as Democratic propaganda, and so that they don't have to talk about other issues that progressives care about. That's the number one reason they do it.
Right. And they're actually doing a disservice to the Democratic Party. Like, it's what they're doing is so incredibly counterproductive because the electorate doesn't really care about Russia, right? Like, sure, I think if you were to poll Americans, they would be upset about the collusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that issue is like their number one priority. They are worried about the economic issues. They won't touch the economic issues because of who, you know, funds these cable news networks.
I'm just done with the 27 segments on Russia. The 27 segments, but the 27 minute segments.
Yeah, I know.
Night after night after night, I got it, right? Mm-hmm. What do you care about? What do you want to fight for,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're going to represent progressives, and everybody in the world thinks that there's at least one person on MSNBC that represents all progressives, well, then actually represent them.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're not, then it's annoying. I'll leave it at that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but you guys are Young Turks members. You know all this.
So I wanted to. It's related to what we're talking about, and I wanted to kind of share with our members, you know, some of the, I guess, the angle to a lot of the lectures that I give to my class and. Mm-hmm. Some of the reaction that I get from it, because I don't think not all, but I think some of my students don't realize what the whole purpose of journalism is, right? Mm-hmm. And so today I said the words, politicians hate you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to hate you. That's a badge of honor.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. What are you, Naomi Klein?
So I told them, because I said, politicians hate you. And then everyone like there was like a gasp, because no one wants to be hated, right? That's a really hard thing to accept. I think when you're a student and you're idealistic, which by the way, I was in this camp as well, you think I'm gonna inform the public and I'm gonna be great and everyone's gonna love me and you know I'm gonna be a freaking household name, whatever it is. And then you start working and you're like, oh wait, I mean, no one is liked by all no matter what. So that shouldn't be a priority, period. But you know, the whole point of journalism is to hold people accountable, right? So the idea of muckraking journalism is kind of lost on a lot of people. They think journalism is Ryan Seacrest. They think journalism is, you know, a talk show host like Mario Lopez. That's not journalism. So I told them, I was like, look, you guys will know you're doing your job properly. And by the way, this is a public affairs reporting class, so it's about politics and stuff.
Because Ryan Seacrest does do good work on Ryan's Roses. That is some serious investigation. He catches those husbands.
He does. He does. But anyway, yeah, I told him, I'm like, you will know you're doing your job correctly if politicians refuse to do interviews with you. Okay, if someone tries to smear you, if they attack you, it means that they don't like the fact that you're revealing the truth about them. And you revealing the truth about them is so important, because if we're supposed to have a democratic system in place, then you need an electorate that has good information, right? Who knows the truth about what's really going on in Congress, with the executive branch, all of that. So I don't know. I don't know if that scares them, but I want to make sure they're in it for the right reasons.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know that you've done your job right if a politician says, "Don't ask me if I'm all right, dog. I'm hurt, dog." Right. So last thing, because I think that if we stay on longer, I'm going to get angrier and angrier, and I don't know where it's going to wind up. But another thing that we talked about it a little bit yesterday in the postgame, but very common refrain I heard in Washington is, but where are the progressive stars? There are no progressive stars. Well, dicks, you didn't put them on TV. You refuse to put progressives on TV and then turn around and go, there are no progressive stars. Now, and by the way, there are progressive stars. It's just you and your Washington bubble don't know them. Mm-hmm. So you think, well, since they don't appear on the bubble that I watch, they must not exist. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I'll give an example that they would snicker and laugh at, okay? Mm-hmm. But Kyle Kulinski, so he's the host of Secular Talk. He's got millions of fans, has, tens of millions of views a month, and never had any money, never had any advantage, just grew like a little mini empire on his own in his house in upstate New York, mm-hmm. okay? That dude's a star, mm-hmm. okay? He's a great talk show host, and he rallies progressives, and he's fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. And but they would go and go, he's on YouTube. No, of course not. They would never let him on TV. No one's ever asked him to be on TV. Nobody's ever found out about him. It's not that people don't know him. Millions of people know him, right?
Yep.
It's that nobody in Washington knows him.
Yeah.
And they're not going to put him on TV, and then they're going to turn around and go, why aren't you a star? But wait, he is a star to millions of people. Nope, don't care, you're not a star in Washington, so it must be your fault. But Dick, you didn't put me on TV. Like, so I'm saying that on behalf of Kyle, not me. I've been all over TV, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, although now I'm banned. So,
yeah.
Like, they're like, okay, if you're a right winger, you can say anything you want, you'll be all over TV.
Right.
If you're establishment, well, that's all of TV anyway. That's 98% of TV. And if we won't let new progressives on, and if you're an old progressive, we'll ban you. Gee, I wonder why there's no progressive stars in Washington.
Yeah. Look, who cares about TV?
But right? They're still in power, though. That's the problem. There's, like, until if we knock them out of power and they don't affect elections anymore, then hashtag suck it, right?
Yeah.
But
they're losing their influence, and they're losing that influence quickly. I think what's more important is rallying, the generations that grew up with the internet, that get their content from independent media, convincing them to go to the polls and vote. We need political activism on their part more than ever. And I think that's where, the primary focus should be right now.
You know what? Super last thing, mm-hmm. drink. So that's my job, and I can't let you guys down, okay? So it's not just hosting, I run the Young Turks. And from a business perspective, it is my job to get us looping in Washington. And by us, I mean progressives. Yes, Young Turks, but whoever else is in the network or a strong progressive. Because one of the advantages TV has is they loop and they loop and they loop. Mm-hmm. They're on 24/7, they're on in all of the radio stations, they're on in all the congressional offices, they're all in all the newspapers and all the local TV, and they're just on 24/7. So we have to find a way to be on 24/7. And as you guys know, we just raised some money. That's part of the point of that. On 24/7, and then we're going to shove it down their throat. Mm-hmm. And we're going to beat them at their own games, the ratings, etc. And so if I don't do that, then I let you down, okay? It's on me to build that right so that we get our message out. And so when candidates or progressives come on the air, they have an audience, and that the rest of the people, the powerful people, know that they have an audience, because that's also what matters, right? So let me go to work. You think I'm done with the day? My day's just starting. All right, guys, much love. We'll see you tomorrow.